Hey everybody, I'm Jeff, and this is Casual Chats in a Parallel Universe. My dad and I have been having daily conversations about family, history, life lessons, movies, news, music, and more. Now we are sharing these chats with you. So welcome to our podcast, and we hope you enjoy.
I'll be happy to get into a discussion about that.
Oh, we're back.
I saw.
Telling you guys, fired up today.
No, there was somebody posted on one of my cohorts. Posted one of those things. The old, your generation, never touches their kids.
My generation?
Yeah, your generation.
What's my generation?
Your generation.
Well, if you're going to lay, if you're going to point me out, what's my generation?
I don't go with all these names, Gen Z and you aren't you a millennial?
No.
No. What are you?
Gen X.
Gen X. Okay.
Then, forgotten generation.
Oh, the forgotten
generation? The latchkey kids.
You were a latchkey kid?
I wasn't personally, but that's the generation is the kids that would, would leave home you'd give us a key to get in the door. We would come home to an empty house.
Well, not because, your generation.
Yeah.
Not you in particular.
I mean, I did for some time. I mean, when mom worked, I'd come home and I'd come home to nothing. I actually preferred that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get started on your mother's business.
Okay.
So I'm not. I am not stepping in that one. We'll leave that for another time. But mom was not in a situation where she needed to work. Mm. So latchkey kids, generally speaking, were kids that because both parents were working and needed to work.
Okay.
When childcare was over, open the latch, go in and take care of yourself and get into trouble.
Yeah. I did plenty of that.
Yeah. But the corporal punishment thing is, I think we did talk about it briefly one time.
No, we talked about SWATs.
But that really,
in school. We didn't talk about parenting.
No.
Tactics.
Parenting. I was
generation
raised.
Generation versus generation.
Yeah. I was raised in the, what is my... In Yiddish, it's called a pachentuchus. That's a smack in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
You would get, and it wasn't, it wasn't hard. It was enough. It was hard enough to scare you and painful enough to maybe generate a tear. So if you did something bad enough.
Right.
But there were levels but there was never a belt involved or a switch involved, or switches were, of course, go out back and cut me a switch.
Right.
That was, cut you a piece of bamboo
to
whack your ass with. I had friends when I was in elementary school that told me, their old man would beat them with a belt.
Yeah.
And raise welts.
Do you think that helped them growth as a person and a human being?
Well, I'm not saying I don't know how it affected them.
Probably wasn't a good thing.
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
I do not
consider in the limited times that my old man smacked me in the butt.
You felt you deserved it.
Oh, definitely. There was one time when my old man lost it, and he didn't hit me. He was this close. Unforgivable.
How old were you?
Oh, I think I was probably, I was in my teen years.
Okay. So you were old enough to know.
Oh, yeah. I might have been 14, mm-hmm. maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I lied, and then I kept it going. And I think I told my dad I committed to do something. And this was not a small commitment. I committed that I was going to do X, whatever X
to
was.
So you were going to do something. Told him you were going to.
This came, this was. The culmination
right.
of several. And I promised him that I would do X. And of course, as I was wont to do, I didn't do it. And I was riding in the back of the car. The whole family was in the car. And Mom was, you know, Harold and I were sitting in the back seat. And I could just tell. I don't even remember how it came up, you know, but it came up while he was driving that I had just, you know, screwed the pooch. I had gone beyond the pale. And he said, I am going to wallop you. When I stop the car, you better run for it. I had never heard that in my life. So when the car stopped, I made a run. He was too fast for me.
And he was fast.
He tackled me. He tackled me. He did. I mean, he grabbed me and he had me on the ground.
See, I would have outran you.
Yeah.
I was too fast.
Yeah. Well, you never had the opportunity because I don't ever remember. I remember hitting you, you know, smacking you, but I never hit you in the face.
No. And Mom did.
Did she?
She slapped me in the face a couple of times.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Probably didn't have to do with pot.
No. Not after, once I got old enough.
I can't remember.
That I could actually block her.
I never felt like you ever did anything.
The only thing that was horrible. I don't recall. Well, so
I might have smacked your butt.
I recall. I mean, you tell the story that I kept peeing my pants.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One time, you said to me, "If you do that again,
I'm going
to
smack
you. I'm going to let you have it," yeah, or something. Whatever
and
you said
peed,
to me,
and you
I looked you right in the eye. And peed my pants.
And I smacked you.
Yeah, well, I threw the gauntlet down.
Yeah.
And you
I smacked you. And you didn't do it again.
That was it.
That was it.
And so I knew what was coming, and I went ahead and
made a stand.
Like I always do. Got to take it that one extra step.
That one extra step.
Like to just see.
Yeah, but
gotta test that water. But other than that, the only other time I remember you getting really upset. And I don't know why it was such a big deal, but it was a big deal to you. I remember we were in the car and I called Nana Lillian.
Oh, yeah.
And you got so upset with me. And I don't know if it was something I had done prior to that. I don't know how or why. Because it doesn't seem like something that you would really need to get that upset about. So I don't know what was going on that caused you to kind of fly off the handle.
It had nothing to do. It's always, you know, with me, and Mom and I talk about this, with me, if I really get like really angry about something, it's never
that particular
thing. That's kind of like the trigger.
The culmination.
Yeah. But it's usually a hot button issue. I mean, it's the whole thing with calling a family member by, you know, or not a family member, but a child calling their parents something other than Mom or Dad,
right,
using their first name was a complete lack of respect. I was taught that was a complete lack of respect. I never called my father Milton ever.
Right.
Nor did I ever call Mom Lillian. And I think probably you doing that was probably just hit me the wrong way.
Well, yeah. Well, you weren't allowed to do it, so why should I? But I remember in the moment, like I didn't do it purposefully to.
Oh no, I'm sure you didn't.
No, but I mean, I wasn't even trying to call her by her first name. Like I wasn't saying it in a sentence. I think someone had said something like about her
well,
first
then
name,
I just missed
and it. I said it out loud,
Lillian. Yeah.
I remember you got, I was sitting in the back seat.
It's just a hot button issue.
And you turned around and you were like, "We nice stuff." No, you didn't say that, but it was more, I remember you were trying to reach back and you were really upset. And I was like, "I didn't mean it. I'm so bad."
No, I mean, wailing on somebody, you know, or like with a strap or, you know, that could, oh, absolutely not. No way would I ever countenance, you know, or go along with, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that's just completely over the top.
Stacy did it one time. She popped Max on the butt one time.
With a belt?
No.
Oh.
With a belt. No. But he was just being, he was little.
Yeah.
But he was just pushing the limits.
Yeah, what's wrong?
Got tired of it.
Yeah. Totally appropriate.
She spent the rest of her life beating herself up.
No, I mean, I just think these people that say, oh, you know, you have to just talk it through. You know, it's that old saying, sometimes words just fail me. You know, wham.
No, I mean, I have never done it. I remember Sarah would throw tantrums and I would just, I mean, I would be angry. That would be on the docket of, you know, should she get like, should I smack her? Should I smack her on the butt, you know, or whatever. And ultimately I felt like I would just pick her up and take her into her room and just put her on the bed and like shut the door. I'm like, you stay in here until you come out.
Yeah.
And be a normal person.
Yeah. Well, that's
for whatever a normal person would be 2 or 3 years old or whatever. But you just sit in here and you lose your mind.
Yeah.
Because if you don't and you come out there, then maybe you will transpire into something you're not going to want to have happen. The only other time I remember is that we had like this Stacy got like this inflatable mallet, right? Oversized mallet. It was like inflatable. And Sarah kept smacking me in the face with it. So I grabbed it from her and smacked her in the face with it.
And she cried.
She was crying.
Of course. Stacy
got really angry with me and was like, was that necessary?
Yes.
And I'm like, well, I mean, now she knows that it doesn't feel good. So she's probably not going to hit me again with it.
I think she won't.
Which I felt like was sound logic at the time.
I still think it sounds. It's solidly logical to me. I think that's perfectly okay. If I ever hit my dad intentionally like that, I think he would have not known how to handle it. He would have yelled at me, which is just, what?
Punch you in the face one time when I was little. Like we were horsing around.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I got up on top of you and just let it fly. And I didn't even mean, I wasn't trying to punch you in the face, but that's where the punch
landed.
And you looked at me and your eyes were so wide. And I looked at you and I was like, Wile E. Coyote. There was just a cloud.
Were you gauging? You were gauging the exits?
No,
what exits were available?
As soon as you looked at me, I was just like, and I took off. And all that was there was the outline of me, right? Like the Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Yeah, Roadrunner.
I ran upstairs, locked my door, and I don't think I came back down
Have, yeah, you noticed I didn't chase you upstairs.
So. No. But man,
it wasn't anything that I recognized right off what had happened.
I was like, oh my God.
No, I remember.
What happened?
You know, you talk about things, we're talking about this stuff, and I'm remembering something that happened when I was a little kid. We were at the beach. I think I might have been, maybe I was, let's see, Harold was... What was he? He's almost 4 years younger, like 3.5 years younger than I am. So he was probably two, maybe, something like that. Two. And my father, we were at the beach, and my father, we had one of these old canvas rafts. And we were in the water, you know, in the ocean. And Dad put Harold on the canvas float. And he turns to me, and I was probably six. He said, watch your brother. And he turned around. No, I'm 6 years old, you know. He turned around to go look at something, or was waving at mom or something. And I don't know. I just, you know, wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Or something. Somebody yelled my name, or somebody bumped into me, you know, and I you know, looked away, and I looked back and there's no Harold. And it couldn't have been more than maybe 10 seconds after that. My dad says,
"Where's
Steve?
Harold?
Where's your brother?" I probably went, "I don't know."
Right.
I have never seen my father. Look, because my brother was gone. He was in the ocean.
Right.
And luckily, he had just rolled off the float and was, we weren't, you know, obviously.
He didn't know how to swim?
Oh, no. Oh. No, 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 no. He was on the ocean floor. He had actually
just
fallen
sunk.
Off and sunk. And he's like this on the ocean. And my dad looked down and he grabbed, and I never heard a word about it.
Right.
He was so angry with me. And then I think he realized, wait a minute, this was all his fault.
Right.
He had no right to put that kind of responsibility on a six-year-old. So he just, you know, it just was forgotten.
Right.
Although, I mean, it came up, you know, in casual conversation over the years.
About the time you tried to drown your brother.
About the time I tried to get rid of my brother. But that was, you know, you talk about, he was smart enough to realize, you know, that this was, he created the mess, not right. me. So it was a situation that just shouldn't have occurred. And thank God my brother could have died, you know, quite literally. But it was, thankfully, that didn't happen.
So, I mean, I would think most of the time when the child is younger, that the parent is really the one that's culpable.
Oh, of course, you can't. You know, I mean, if you've got like a 12-year, you know, you got a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old, mm-hmm. say, watch your brother, you know, or your sister for right. a couple of seconds. I've got to go yell at your mom. You're in charge. You're not an adult, but you know the ramifications
yeah.
of what could happen. So that's a different story. Of course, the parent has to gauge the level of responsibility and maturity of their kid if they're going to do that. But assuming the kid is normally, you know, you're willing to take that chance. I mean, it's the same thing of letting your kids out into the ocean, you know, and you're keeping an eye on them from the beach.
Right.
You know, you're deeming them mature enough to go out there and be responsible for themselves. So it's, you know, it's a judgment call. Sometimes, unfortunately, for some kids, they don't survive that. You know, their parents think that they're of a level of maturity, and they're not. And all of a sudden, the worst thing in the world, you know, when a child death occurs or injury or whatever.
I can't even watch. Now I can't. I can't when there's like a show on or something about that. I can't watch it.
Yeah,
it's
the worst.
Like Stacy was watching some movie, I think with Sarah or something like that, and it was like a family whose child has cancer, and the child ends up passing away, and it's like this long, drawn out movie. I'm like, I can't watch. Like, how? Would you even do that? To yourself?
I thought you were talking about like an accident or something.
No, even an accident. I mean, I just can't. Like, it's just it's too much for me. I can't because I can't. I put myself in that place and I'm like, I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to do that. You know,
you don't want to go there.
No,
you don't want to even process that.
No, I really don't.
Yeah,
I really don't. Because that it would be one of the most
horrific
worst things that could ever happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, for the love that I have for my kids to have something like that happen to them and to know, you know, that you couldn't help. In any way, I mean, it's just.
You and I were talking about us watching Law and Order. I mean, a lot of these TV shows, you know, are dealing with horrific things that happen to people. And, you know, in a lot of cases, the writer, you know, was making the story is all about, you know, a young child
right.
being pulled into a situation and dying
yeah.
as a result of some horrific set of circumstances. And then you have to watch the parent go through the process of, oh my God, you know, how do you deal with that? And how do you ever get closure?
You don't. I mean, I don't think
there
can ever be such a thing. You just learn to live with it.
You learn to live with it, right.
Time heals all wounds.
Yep.
To deal with it. That's like,
the wounds at least scab over and scar, and that's what you're left
with. Yeah. I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, this isn't anything like that situation, but, you know, I mean, Sarah still is sore about the fact that, you know, that her senior year, they made it all the way to the state championship and then they lost. They lost. So it was like unfinished. And she couldn't, she's like, I can't go back. You know, I can't. There's not another year that we could, you know, next year we'll, because it was always next, you know, it was like they were incrementally getting better.
Yeah.
And the year before that, they had lost a heartbreaker. And now here they are in the state, you know, they made it all the way.
Like, to the state championship,
And she's like, she knew, and rightfully so, that they could win the game, which they could have, but they just didn't. They didn't perform that day. It didn't happen. For some reason or another.
I think the other team,
it was sore, but then.
Yeah.
So now it was great to see, you know, Caitlin Clark, obviously she's big hot button name right now. And that's out there. 2 years in a row made it to the championship game. And, you know, as great as she is, lost it. You know, her team lost both times. And this year was her final year. And it was, you know, this was like the year to do it. And she couldn't do it. And I said to Sarah, I mean, it was like, look, see, it's, you're not the only one out there that's been in this position. Like,
Even though she's a star, or Caitlin Clark, I'm talking about.
Yeah. But it happens.
Oh, like, yeah.
Someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. And, you know, you got to eat crow and move on.
That's it. And so even Michael Jordan lost. In his career.
Yeah.
So what, you know, even when you're the best, you're not perfect. So you're going to have those losses to deal with. And you just got to, watching, you know, how to deal with a loss. I was watching, or not a loss, but, you know, golfers, you know, how golfers are able to just, you know, have a really good golfers are able to have like shoot like a double bogey on a hole and ruin their chances of winning prospectively, maybe they've ruined their chances of winning and they go to the next hole and shoot a birdie.
Right.
Because they can compartmentalize their minds are able to deal with that and just lock it out.
Have that short-term memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the key to being an athlete is that ability to just lock stuff out and move on. I don't know that I'm not that way. It takes me a while. I have to process stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm the same way. Like I still remember stuff, you know, when I was a kid, I remember there was a big soccer game that we were in a penalty shootout, and this was like with the, you know, I think it was a big game with a rival team, and it had gone down to, you know, one and ones, and I needed to make the penalty to continue the shootout.
Yeah. And you missed.
I blew it, kicked it right, just straight to the keeper. Goalie.
Yep.
Yeah. And just crumbled to the ground. I remember how upset I was over the whole thing.
Oh,
it was terrible. Felt like I lost the whole game for the team.
And they told you that you did.
Yeah.
Oh, they ruined it for us, Kobler.
They did.
You miserable creep.
Yep. So that's the last time he's taken a penalty kick.
Ever. Not picking him
anymore. No.
He
wasn't on the team.
We do a scrub game. He's out.
But, I mean, you know, you get over it. You move on.
Yeah, of course you do.
It's
of course you do.
And you learn from it. Rise above it.
If you don't move on.
Well, then
you're going to your whole life is in the shitter. You can't, if you can't, you know, put stuff in perspective and move on, it's you're not going to live your life to its fullest.
I mean, little did I know that that was just the beginning of the losses were going to pile up after that.
And of course they did.
Yeah.
Just one after another. Just, one horror show after another.
I just keep moving on.
What can I tell you? You just keep screwing up until things work.
I guess so.
Hey, that's life. That is life. Somebody, there is a saying about that is just so true. You know, the old fake it till you make it deal is that's what life is about. You know, you just keep pounding away, and sooner or later you hit on the right.
Figure it out.
You figure. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you will.
Or you don't.
You do, or you will.
Or you don't.
Well, but it will lead you to the next thing that does work. I'm a firm believer in that. That as long as you keep slugging it away, and I'm a perfect example of that. As long as you keep slugging away, you will get to the thing that is your thing. And luckily, that happened to me.
I'm still slugging away over here.
Yeah, but you're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're building your business, and it seems like it's going to me. You know, you're kind of hitting the sweet spot.
The stride.
Starting to get things are starting to come together for you. You know, people are liking what you do, and they're telling their friends, and that's the way I'm calling you a professional. Any professional, that's the only way you can grow your business is through word of mouth. You know, you can't spend tens of thousands of dollars that you don't have on advertising. You know, you gotta use the word of mouth and use your. I remember when I first started practicing law, working for a law firm, and one of the partners was telling me, he said, when's the last time you went through, you looked at your client files? And I said, I don't look at my client files. After I've done the job, you know, it goes in the file drawer and that's it. He said, that's the spot where all of your potential is in those client files. You need to go back in those files. There's stuff in there that you can go back to that client with and say, hey, you know, have you thought about this? I was just looking at your one, you know, it shows the client that you really care about them.
Right.
But of course, it also shows them your creativity and the fact that you're still invested and involved in what they're doing. And man, that was such an aha moment for me that, I started pulling out my client files and went, oh yeah, I bet he'd be interested in this. I called him up.
Damn. Wasn't interested.
Oh, he was interested.
He said, you know what? I didn't hear from you in a while, so I found somebody else.
No, and that's the other thing. It does, it keeps you in touch. You know, it
keeps you top of mind.
The client feels like you're engaged,
right.
You know, with them, you care about their situation. So it's that was just a real aha moment for me. And I gave that, you know, I passed that on to other, you know, other young kids that I worked with. When I say kids, other young attorneys, or not even attorneys, but CPAs, because I worked as an accountant for a while as well. Same thing. You know, there's huge amounts of business in those client files. You got to get back in there. And sure enough, money's kind of started flowing again.
Well, I mean, that's why people get so upset with like the big corporations, because it's just, there's nothing personal about it. Yeah. You're just a number. You're just another.
Well, I mean, when you get to be statistic. As big as Amazon, it's, you know, that's, there's, it's hard. I mean, I guess people, you know, what can you do? You're trying to create an interface where people can easily find, you know, a product or something.
Yeah, but, I'm thinking more of like a Comcast, like a service provider.
Oh,
where it's like, look, you know, you'd like to know that you, but you're just nothing.
Well, it's because, you know, when you're dealing, you know, when you're dealing with a regulated industry, because Comcast, the original, you know, the original Comcast was a cable company. And so all of their cable is regulated by a governmental authority. And 95% of Comcast's business was theirs. Nobody else, there was no competition because they'd go into a community and they build it and they would get the franchise. They would get the franchise. And so, you know, you're stuck with Comcast. This is years ago.
No, it's
and,
still
and
like
so
it.
Comcast. Still well, I mean, but now there are other internet service providers that there is competition.
Well, cable lists.
Sometimes there's. I mean, right now, the only ISP I can realistically get is Hargray. You know, that's who's got our cable. I mean, the best possible situation is cable because. Right. The bandwidth is the widest, but what the cell phone companies have done is to that because they've this 5G thing that they've got now you can utilize your cell phone network as your internet service provider. So now all of a sudden Verizon can be in competition with Hargray. And it's hurting Hargray. They're starting to lose. They're losing customers because most people don't need that bandwidth, and the 5G cell phone bandwidth is enough.
Right.
You know. So they're losing. But anyway, getting back to the whole point with Comcast, customer service didn't mean anything to them because the customer couldn't go anywhere else. So they just didn't give a shit. And that, man, when that permeates a company, you know, it's almost impossible to change that. You know, you get customer service, it's just for shit. And your customer service is still for shit.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Mm-hmm. And you would think, but they just don't, you know, they just don't care. They really just don't give a shit about their customers. They just don't. When you provide that level of customer service, you just...
I mean, it's not just them. It's a lot of the
oh, yeah.
bigger... I mean, you look at like the major airlines, you know, they don't give a shit.
I mean, I remember when years ago in the talking about computers again, where I was in love with Dell computers. Yeah, you know, this was before my Apple foray.
Right.
So I just thought Dell was the greatest thing that I've since sliced bread. And their customer service was fantastic. And I think Michael Dell at the time had sold Dell Computer. Either that or he had retired, left the company. I don't remember what the deal was. Anyway, whoever came in and was CEO made the fateful decision to outsource all of their customer service
to a third
India.
Party. Right.
No, to India.
Oh.
And this was a huge deal. And it just killed Dell. Absolutely. They lost, I don't know, they lost 50% of their market share. It was the dumbest, stupidest move that ever, that was it. Customer service is everything.
Well, because as soon as you hear somebody reading off a script, well, that you realize that it doesn't matter.
Well, and the thing that was so bad was the fact that nothing against the, you know, the people in India, even though they quote spoke English, you know, their accents were in a lot of cases were so bad that they couldn't understand them.
Right.
Even though in some cases they were really trying to help you, they just couldn't do it. And Dell just completely dropped the ball, and they almost lost the company because of it. But then Michael Dell came back. They moved their customer service back into the U.S. and, you know, it cost them a lot of money, but they finally earned back their, at least at the time, they earned back their their customer base. But I mean, the computer business is so cutthroat. I mean, God, it's just except for Apple. I mean, if you're if you're a Microsoft person or you're, you know, a PC person, God, I mean, and all you want is just a computer to, you know, do emails. And I mean, you're buying some cheap shit computer that they don't make any money on to start with.
Right.
So that's tough. It's a tough business model. So
we got sidetracked off corporal punishment.
We did.
Went from spankings to customer service.
Well, that's kind of a spanking where you're basically, you know, it's like, you know, leaving your kid to fall off a float, you know, the customer being the kid. Mm. Yeah, you're not taking, if you're not taking care of your family, you know, your business family, if you're willing to just, you know, look away and they don't matter. You're so busy, you know, with new customers, you know, trying to get new customers, and you forget about your old customers. So you're basically beating up on your kids,
yeah,
on your customers. So
no, I mean, I mean, in my business, it's like a big thing for me. I want to be able to, somebody calls me or emails me, I want to be able to get back to them in a timely right. manner, you know, and make sure that they know that, hey, I'm here, I hear you, and let's, you know,
and you don't
get to whatever your
you don't want to be spanked by your customer.
No, because that would mean that I'm not getting paid.
Corporal punishment.
And that's not bad.
Oh, yeah. Worse, you're going to lose the customer.
Or you lose the customer,
yeah. Yeah, which is worse.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's interesting because I'm looking, you know, I'm interviewing. I interviewed this young woman who was looking for a job.
Right.
In social media management. And just talking to her and just... It's interesting.
You didn't get the sense she was.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. It was hard for me to get a read one way or the other, just in what we were talking about as to whether she could really come in and kick some ass or not. She might very well be able to. And we're going to find out.
Yep. Oh, great.
But see
if she can bring in some new customers.
Yeah. Oh, well, not even just new customers. I have clients that it's like, look, or newer clients that could be coming in, but I don't have the bandwidth necessary to take care of them. So, hey, here you go. You handle it and see where that goes.
Sure.
And it, you know, look, if this is what you want to do, you, and this one possible new client is, I'm like, here's the story. Here's the story that you could tell. There's plenty there. And, you know, see if it's something that you can.
Yeah.
And it was something that, you know, maybe I was kind of wavering on whether I really wanted to take the client in the first place or not. And so, but if I don't want to lose the money. So,
well, you know, hopefully she can sell.
Hopefully she can work it out.
Well, she's got to be able to sell.
We'll see.
That's the key. She can't sell. She can be the greatest, you know, employee in the world, but she's still got to be able to sell. They got to be able to get the client in the first place, hopefully, and
got to be able to close.
Close.
That's it.
ABC.
That's always be closing. You don't get the watch.
That's right.
You know, you aren't closing. Glenn Ross.
There you go.
Get in there.
Yeah. Well, we'll close her down for
till the next. Till the next round.
We're gonna have some guests come on the show.
Yeah.
And we're working on that as we speak. And
dialing them up.
We'll be announcing something pretty soon.
You want to call and leave a message on air? Just, you know, let them so that they know we're actually working on it.
This is major. I don't want to bait, you know, Bell the cat or create anything until I'm for sure.
Oh, okay.
So this could be a major addition.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good. You probably will. Wait till you find out who it is.
Oh.
Whoa.
Hey-o.
Hey.
Surprise guest.
Oh.
Okay.
I have to try to get him to fly in from Patagonia.
Oh.
Oh, I let it out of the bag.
There it is.
Oh, yep.
I didn't know we're flying. Didn't well, they're we actually, had the budget to fly
they're just,
people
They're
in.
Just traveling. They're just traveling. So.
All right. Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for shopping.
Thanks for being here.
You too. Appreciate you coming in from out of the cold.
Appreciate you.